Welcome to our Bible study on 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. Our reading today is from what we call 1 Samuel, but originally the books in our Bible we know as 1 and 2 Samuel were one book. The oldest Hebrew manuscript from the Dead Sea Scrolls includes both 1 and 2 Samuel on a single scroll. The division into two books was probably introduced by the Greek translators who created the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. And so perhaps to create scrolls of a more manageable size, they divided the one scroll into two. In those Septuagint manuscripts, the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings are actually divided into four books called 1 through 4 Kingdoms. The decision about where to divide the books was influenced by the custom of concluding books with the death of major figures. For example, the book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph. The book of Deuteronomy ends with the death of Moses. The book of Joshua ends with the death of Joshua. So they ended 1 Samuel with the death of, it wasn't Samuel, it was Saul, and ended 2 Samuel with the death of David. Of course, by dividing the one scroll of Samuel into two books, we end up with this curiosity. In 2 Samuel, named for the prophet Samuel, Samuel does not appear at all. Samuel now is getting ready to anoint Israel's second king. You may recall it didn't work out very well with the first king, Saul. The quick backstory is this. The people of Israel wanted a king, and even though the prophet Samuel warned against it, and so did God, as God sometimes will do, God punishes the Israelites by giving them exactly what they wanted, a prototypical image of a tall, dark, and handsome matinee idol monarch, King Saul. But Saul as a king didn't work out well. And as 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35 tells us, God repented of making Saul king. Saul may look the part, but he did not play the part. So a second king is needed, and God sends Samuel off again, this time to an out-of-the-way village named Bethlehem. You may have heard of it. To see the sons of Jesse. Eliab is the oldest and certainly looks the part, tall and handsome. And Samuel says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But that's in chapter 16, verse 6. But God has seen enough of the tall, handsome type. And God says, "And do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And that's chapter 16, verse 7. Our passage is the first of the stories of David, and also marks the final appearance of Samuel. But outside of Samuel's initial objection in verse 2, both Samuel and David are passive participants in this drama. In fact, David does not even speak in our passage. The central actor is God, who enacts his will through Samuel and David. In verse 1, Samuel is told to go see Jesse of Bethlehem to anoint a new king. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 15, God has rejected Saul as king, but Saul is still technically king, which is why Samuel is concerned and voices his concern in verse 2. Obviously, to anoint a new king when there is already a king sitting on the throne would be considered an act of treason. God comforts Samuel by telling him to take a heifer as a sacrifice. This only works because Samuel is known to be both prophet and priest, and sacrificing is part of the priestly functions. In verse 4, we see that the elders of the city of Bethlehem are also fearful. They do not know that Samuel has come to anoint a successor to Saul, but they do know that Samuel is in conflict with Saul, and they do not want to be drawn into the controversy. Samuel soothes them in verse 5 by telling them his intent is peaceful and invites them to consecrate or sanctify themselves and come to the sacrifice, after which they are no longer a part of our story. By verse 6, we only have Samuel, Jesse, and Jesse's sons present. The sons of Jesse are brought before Samuel one at a time. When Eliab, who we find out in 17:13, is the oldest, comes, Samuel is ready to choose him, but God says no, that Samuel is not really seen. And there is some irony here, because if you are familiar with Samuel, then you may remember he was given to the Lord after his time of weaning. And in chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, we are told Samuel served the priest Eli, who could not see, at a time when visions were rare and the lamp of God was dim. Now it is Samuel who cannot see. The reality of God's future for Israel does not always appear clear to human eyes, even to those of a prophet. God sees differently than humans. God sees the heart, meaning the inner person and not the outward appearance. Heart has to do with the will and the character of a person. And as we will find out, it turns out David is the man after God's own heart. So now we have a parade of sons coming before Samuel. Although only the first three are named, the other four are lumped together, and we assume they were presented from oldest to youngest. In verse 10, after the seventh son has also not been chosen, and in verse 11, Samuel asks Jesse if all his sons are present, and Jesse reports that there is one other who is tending the sheep. And David's identity as a shepherd foreshadows his role as king. Shepherd was a common title for kings both in Israel and in the ancient Near East. It is also significant that David is the eighth son, meaning he is far down the line of succession. God, as with Jacob and Joseph, once again reaches out to take a younger son, an unlikely prospect for success, and finds in him the hope of Israel's future. Once again, God sees possibilities, even when others do not. So the youngest makes his appearance, and though he is passive and never speaks. In verse 12, we are told he is ruddy, he's got beautiful eyes, and is handsome. So while appearance may not be a determining factor, it also doesn't hurt. And he is anointed before his brothers. And as verse 13 tells us, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. The first time David is actually named in the whole passage. The Hebrew word for anoint is mashah, and from it comes the designation Messiah. Anointing was a simple but solemn ritual involving the pouring or smearing of oil. The ritual sanctified the object or the person, which made them holy. That is, they were set aside from the ordinary and given divine authority or status. In conclusion, after this episode, the story of Saul will continue, and David will appear on the public scene. But there are two quite different accounts. In one, at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23, David is recommended to Saul as an attractive and skilled musician and soldier. In the other reference, 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 through 58, he is an unknown but courageous shepherd boy who turns up on the battlefield to defeat the Philistine giant. But in both of these episodes, we are to understand David's remarkable abilities as manifestations of his divine designation, the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.